Revelation 16. While you're turning there, I'll give you a few reminders. Remember that the book of Revelation means the revealing of Jesus Christ in the last day. The revealing of Jesus Christ. You don't hear much teaching or preaching out of the book of Revelation anymore. And I know why. As I read it, it's like reading today's newspaper. And last week, boy, it just got surreal. Now, in my earlier years of Christianity, since I didn't get saved until I was 23 years old, and of course everybody when they first get saved wants to read the book of Revelation. And that's not the time to read. But I tried, and I couldn't understand a lot of that stuff. Some of it I could. But as time went on, I would try to teach it and preach it, and I'd get stuck on a lot of it. But you know, the day that we live in, this stuff is so real now. It's just so plain with the worldwide 24-hour news and the economy and the way the financial systems of the world are set up now and the way the governments are set up and the United Nations and world leaders and wars and rumors of wars and all these things, the way it's set up now. As you read the book of Revelation, you say, well, I didn't used to understand that, but now I do. I can see that now where I couldn't before. And last week, in those first two verses, we talked about that great deception. We talked about how people are being deceived so bad and how God is just getting fed up. He just gets fed up. You know, God's loving. God is. He is love, but He's also a God of judgment, and He's a God of righteousness and holiness. And He's a God of hate. He hates some things. There's about 36 things named in the Bible that says God hates. God hates. God hates. God hates. And I preached on seven of them not long ago. And so these judgments, we can see them about to fall because of the way our situation is. In verse 1 and 2, we talked about that a little bit. And the angel announced those seven vials of judgment that's about to be poured out on the earth. Now, these are similar to the same judgments. If you go back and you read Exodus chapter 7, that was poured out onto Egypt. Similar to it, a lot like it, some of them are. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 7, Revelation chapter 8, verse 7, all the way through Revelation chapter 11, 15. Now, in those verses, it's one-third of the world that was being affected. You remember, one-third of the greenery burned up, one-third of the water was polluted with dead bodies and blood and all that stuff, and one-third of the population was destroyed. Well, in these vials, this is worldwide. This is not just one-third of the world. This is worldwide what we're talking about now. And so the first was a terrible sore on those who took the mark of the beast. And we talked about that, and we said, before our age, are you listening, young people? Before this age, we couldn't understand how so many people could be deceived by one man and be led so far away from God and be such a mass of people that these God would pour out this one. He'd have the angel pour out the vial, and these boils and sores would come up on them, and they couldn't get well because they took the mark of the beast. And we always thought when we were younger, we thought we'd hear about that, and we'd say, who would be dumb enough to take the mark? But boy, now we watch TV news and watch these people in the streets, and we watch them rioting, we watch them doing all this stuff, and we say, well, that's the crowd that would take that mark right there. That's the crowd that would take it. And now it's just getting worse every day. So we talked about that great number of people being deceived. And I said this, and I'll say it again, it fits in right here. When I was growing up, most of you, a lot of you are baby boomers, they call us. We were born between 1940-something and 1950-60-something when the World War II was over, you know, and started having a bunch of babies. I was one of them. and baby boomers. That's what we are. And because there were so many of us. When I was a kid growing up, I remember as a teenager, there was teenagers everywhere. You don't even see kids no more. You don't even see teenagers. Used to be you couldn't get in Hardee's or McDonald's or some drive-through, drive-in restaurant or something because there'd be so many teenagers there you couldn't get in. And that was my crowd. Now, they're all on I-95 going to Florida and back. They're cruising the interstate instead of Cherry Road. And but you see, all these people have been born. And in our age, everybody went to church. I didn't. We were in the minority. About 10% of Americans did not claim Christianity. Now, we claimed it. We just didn't have it and didn't go to church and wasn't raised in. I didn't know nothing about the Bible. I probably went to church 5 or 10 times before I got saved at the age of 23 years old. Nobody ever invited us. But we were ashamed of it. We were ashamed of it. Stores wasn't open on Sunday. Stores wasn't open. You'd be lucky to find a drug store open on Sunday or a gas station, one. And nobody stayed up past. Almost all the stores closed at 6 and 7 o'clock every night when I was a kid. You know the store that stayed open the latest, and I was a teenager when it opened? 7-Eleven. They called it 7-Eleven because it opened at 7 in the morning and closed at 11 at night. And we thought that was cool, man. Stores stay open till 11 o'clock. But even they wasn't open on Sunday. And grocery store wasn't open on Sunday. Well, nothing open on Sunday. And now it's just the opposite. It's about a minority of Americans are Christian, and a majority are not. And so therefore, we look at that majority and we think, well, they hate us so much, and we ain't done nothing to them. And they hate us so much, no wonder they're going to fall for the Antichrist. And no wonder they're going to be deceived. No wonder they'll take the mark. And then during the tribulation period, God's going to pour out His wrath on that bunch because we're going to be gone. Amen. The trumpet of the Lord's going to sound. The dead in Christ will rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. And so we'll be changed in the moment, the twinkling of an eye. And we're going to get immortal bodies and we'll be gone up. And while we're up there for 7 years, there's tribulation. God's pouring out His wrath on planet Earth. He's just pouring it out. And this is part of it. Now, I got you back to where we were, okay? Look at verse 3, chapter 16. The second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man. And every living soul died in the sea. Now, when it says living souls, it's talking about animals, too. It's talking about fish, anything that had life in it, in the ocean, died. He said that angel poured out that vial, that judgment. He flew over earth and he poured out that judgment on the seas of the world. And when he did, everything in there died. Said it became like the blood of a dead man. You remember in Exodus, what did he do? He said, let my people go. And he said, I'm not letting them go. And he turned the water into what? Blood. And everything in the river Nile did what? It died because fish can't breathe blood. And then it becomes contaminated. Y'all listening, young people. It becomes contaminated. And so everything in the water died. But he didn't stop there. Go down to verse 4. Look at verse 4. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of water, and they became blood. Now that means if it wasn't bad enough to be the ocean, now it's all the rivers, all the creeks, all the streams, and every bit of it became blood, every bit of it. Now, just think about that. Think about that. What did people drink? Well, you said the ocean, it wouldn't make no difference. But then when he said the streams and the lakes and the ponds and the creeks and all the other water supply, the fresh water, also turned into blood. So what did they drink? They didn't have nothing to drink. Unless they already had it before this happened. See? And so that second vial was poured out on the ocean, that sea, it turned into blood. And then that third vial in verse 4, it was poured out on the streams and the rivers and the creeks, and they became blood. And that, see, that right there produces death right there. That's a death judgment on mankind on planet Earth. You can't live without water. About 3 days. After that, you're in trouble. Amen? All right, now look at verse 5. And I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. Now that angel said, God, you're right. You're righteous. Because you have judged these people and you've poured this judgment out on these people. And mankind hates judgment. You ever heard this? Well, you can't judge me. Well, I don't have to. You already been judged. Amen. I don't have to judge anybody. You already been judged. Amen. And he said, you're righteous that you did thus. And look at verse 6. For they who, the humans, the men, mankind, they have shed the blood of saints and prophets. And thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. That angel said, God, you gave them what they wanted. They wanted blood. They shed blood of the prophets. They shed the blood of the saints. We just got through reading that. The believers that become believers during the tribulation period, they're going to be killed. They're going to kill them. Those two prophets on the streets of Jerusalem, you remember, they killed them and had a 3-day party and exchanged gifts and watched them lay in the streets for 3 days and 3 nights on CNN and NBC and CBS and everything else and had a worldwide party. So they got what they wanted. That's what the angel said. They wanted blood, so you give them blood. And you give them the right judgment because they shed the blood of prophets. And they shed the blood of saints. And you, God, are just. You, God, are righteous. Now, let me tell you something. Another angel in heaven pronounces the righteousness of God's judgment. Now, I might misjudge. I might. Sometimes we do that. I've had to apologize sometimes because I've misjudged. And so have you. If you're a Christian, you ought to apologize when you misjudge. Amen. I've had to apologize to my kids before. You're talking about eating crow. But let me tell you something. God will never have to apologize. Amen. I heard a preacher say one time, well, if God don't do something to this homosexual crowd, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. God ain't going to have to apologize to nobody. When God judges righteously. It's not like we judge. We judge selfishly sometimes. God judges righteously. He said, all right, you've killed all these people. You shed their blood. I'm going to give you some blood. And they're going to die from it. Are y'all listening, kids? Listen to me. You better listen. Now, I thought about that. What does that mean that God is righteous in his judgment? He said, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Did you see that? Verse 5, I heard the angel of waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because thou hast judged us. You know what he's saying? Same thing Jesus said, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I change not. God will not judge you this day one way, and you 10 years from now a different way. God changes not. God's righteous judgment has always been the same. He's not treating these people in these last days in the book of Revelation any different than he did in Exodus. Do you remember the story? Turned the water into blood. He's the same. Wast. Art. He said, you'll always be the same. Now, I want y'all to listen to me. Just pay me attention for here just a second. Listen to me. Young people, listen to me. Just because church changes doesn't mean God changed. And just because Christians changed doesn't mean God changed. And just because some pussyfooting, nickel-nipping, penny-pinching, soft-soaping preacher changes don't mean that God changes.
Amen?
Hey, God's judgment's righteous and holy. It always has been. It always will be. And I don't care what anybody tells you today we live in. And I know that's old-fashioned. And I know that's ancient. And I know a lot of people say that's out of style and we can't say that anymore. But the Bible does not change. God's Word does not change. God doesn't change. God's judgment doesn't change. And just because you're living in 2017 does not mean that He's going to judge you any less than if you lived in 1917. He's the same. He changes not. And if it was wrong in 1917, it's wrong in 2017. Can I get amen out of that? God didn't change. God hadn't changed. His Word hadn't changed. This book right here, hey, that's the mind of God to man right there. Everything God wants you to know about Him and His Son and His Spirit and His work and what He wants to do through you, for you, and on planet Earth, right there it is. You can read God's mind. There it is. You ain't got to pray about it. I've talked to people about doing something right before and they say, well, let me pray about it. I say, you don't have to pray about this. It's the right thing to do. It's always been the right thing to do. You don't have to pray about it. If it's right now, it was right the other day, it was right the year before, it's still right. Unless one of your kids want to borrow some money. If a kid comes up and says, I need $20, say, well, let me pray about it. And when they come back tomorrow and say, you pray about it, say, I'm still praying. I hadn't seen the light yet. But God's judgment is the same. And listen, if it was righteous on the Egyptians, it'll be righteous on this bunch of heathens in the 21st century. Amen? And that's what that angel's saying. This little namby-pamby crowd runs around here now. And they say, well, that ain't fair. God ain't fair. Where in the Bible does it say God's got to be fair? He's righteous. He's holy. Whether you think that's fair or not, that's what He is. Amen? And one of the kids gave me something for people like that the other day. Here it is right here. Bunch of Christians running around here. We need to give them pacifiers. That's what we need to give them. Amen. Well, that ain't fair. Oh, shut up. Somebody ought to slap you. Listen, nobody ever said life was fair. Nobody ever said God had to be fair. God is just. Now, I got looking up some verses. Acts chapter 17. Turn over to Acts chapter 17. Y'all still with me? Say amen. Acts chapter 17. Are you mad yet? That's all right. I don't care if you are or not. Acts chapter 17. Are you listening? Acts 17. You girls look up here. Acts 17. Act like I'm that cute boy you've been staring at all day. Look up here. Acts chapter 17. Look at verse 30. Boy, that guy's in trouble. I tell you that right now. Acts chapter 17. You got it? Look at verse 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because He hath appointed a day into which He will, can anybody tell me what that word says? Judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, in that He hath raised Him from the dead. You see what He told that crowd? He said, you know what? Y'all used to be ignorant, but you ain't ignorant now. You've heard God's Word. And He said, God used to wink at that because you're ignorant, but you're not ignorant anymore, and now God's going to judge you for it. Did you know you'd be better off not to know the truth than to know it and turn away from it? You'll be judged more harshly by God. Some little old native living in a grass hut somewhere way down in the jungles of Brazil ain't never met nobody that knew how to read or write. You'd be better off to be one of them than to be somebody to sit on a Baptist church pew and be judged by God. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm not saying don't be saved. They're still going to die and go to hell without Christ. They need a Savior. But I'm telling you this, it'd be better not to know right from wrong than it is to know right from wrong and not do right. Amen. God will judge. And God's pouring out His wrath on these people in Revelation chapter 16. Why? Because he says verse 30, the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. You know what repent means? Change of mind. Change of direction. You know, when I got saved, what I did, I changed my mind. I said that day when I got saved, and I was walking down that aisle, Eastside Baptist Church, from the sixth pew on the left-hand side, I was thinking, I'm wrong, God's right. I'm wrong, God's right. I'm wrong, God's right. It doesn't matter what God says, He's right, and it doesn't matter how I feel, God's still right, and I need to get saved or I'm going to die and go to hell. That's repentance. And I'm afraid there's a lot of people who've never done that. You say, do you believe on Jesus Christ? Oh, yeah, I believe in Jesus. But they've never changed their mind about themselves and their sins. They haven't changed their mind and said, I'm a dirty, rotten sinner. I ought to go to hell, but I don't want to go. Amen? So I'm going to turn to Him. You don't need a 12-step program. You need one step. Turn around and go toward Him. That's all you need, one-step program. A lot of people sitting in all these programs looking for the truth when they already know the truth, and they won't receive the truth because they don't want to admit that they deserve judgment, and if they don't get to a holy God, they're going to get it. So they try to sidestep it and find all kind of ways to get around that judgment. But I'm telling you, there's only one way. And verse 31 says, because He hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained. That's Jesus Christ. Now you go on, you join church. That ain't going to save it. A lot of people going to hell sitting in church all the time. Billy Sunday said, going to church don't make you a Christian no more than parking a bicycle in the garage makes it an automobile. Amen? Amen. Billy Boatwright said, going to church don't make you a Christian no more than taking his old pickup truck and parking it at Chevrolet place and claiming it's a new 800 horsepower Camaro. Just because you parked at Chevrolet place don't make it nothing. Amen? Listen, I'm telling you, God will judge sin, and the planet Earth ain't getting out of it. Well, preacher, if you preach like that, ain't nobody going to like you. They didn't like Him. Where are you going to offend people? It offended me. It offended you. It hurt our feelings. Amen. Sometimes people come to church here and they leave out here and they say, I can't believe the preacher said that. Well, somebody had to say it. Somebody needed, so you, hey look, you need to hear it. God's going to judge this world, and we better get ready to get out before He comes to do it. Amen. Yeah. I'm not looking for the undertaker, I'm looking for the overtaker. When He comes, that trumpet's going to sound. I told Whitesell down there the other week, I said, don't y'all rent coffins? He said, yeah, we do now. They didn't used to, but they do now because they'll cremate you. But before they cremate you, if you want to have a funeral, they'll put you in the coffin. And then after the funeral, they'll cremate you. And they'll use that coffin again. I said, well, I'm going to need one of those. He said, why are you going to need one? I said, I ain't planning on getting buried. I'm not going to die. I'm going to fly. I said, if I die, get me one of them things. Let me lay in it a little while because I ain't going to be in it long. Jesus is coming back. When the trumpet sounds, you can give it to somebody else. I won't be needing it anymore. Some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. Listen, He's coming and He's going to judge righteously. Now let me tell you something. There's a lot of people judged me. There's a lot of people judge you. Every day we're being judged. We are. We're being judged. And some of it is unrighteous judgment. They're misjudging us. But some of it is righteous judgment too. They're judging us right. Because we're not perfect. We're saved by the grace of God. We're kept by the grace of God. We still come short of the glory of God. We're not perfect yet. There ain't no angel wings in here. I don't see no halos. Every one of you is imperfect. That's why you needed a Savior. So sometimes people do judge us rightly. And we deserve it. But I'll tell you one person I don't want to judge me and be mad at me. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. But this crowd here, He's going to judge them. He's going to say, you wanted to kill my prophets? I watched you do it. You wanted to kill my saints? I watched you do it. And so I'm going to give you what you got from them, blood. And it's going to contaminate the waters of the whole world. Amen? What's that town up there in Michigan that the water's messed up so bad? Flint, Michigan? Say the water's poison. They ain't seen nothing yet. Amen? What about when you turn that tap on and blood comes out of it? Amen? Amen. Look, Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Turn over to Romans chapter 2. I want to show you another one about judgment. Well, preacher, the preacher over here, the pastor over here at the Elevation Church, he don't talk about judgment. You got that right. Guilty conscience ain't going to say much. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Look here at verse 5. Romans chapter 2, verse 5. I'll tell you what. Why don't we just start verse 1? Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. He said, now if you do the same things those people are doing, you condemn yourself too. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Now he's talking to the hypocrite. Okay? I remember one time I was working down at the industrial mill. Me, Tommy Owens, working on the back of a big old long machine, 600 feet long. He was working on the back of it. I worked on the front of it. There was another man mixed to die. And if the yarn would get tore up, it'd wrap up in those big old dry cans. And Tommy was up there unwrapping it one night. And that old smart aleck, I hadn't been saved long. He looked up there at Tommy. Tommy just sweating. It was about 200 degrees up there, you know. And he said, if you think that's hot, just wait. Hell's hotter than that. And Tommy looked down there at him. He said, I ain't planning on going to hell. I ain't worried about it. Amen. Look, look at verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering? He said, there's some people that just despise the goodness of God, his longsuffering, his forbearance. Here's what he's talking about. If there's a God in heaven, let him strike me with lightning right now. Watch out. Lightning didn't come. But something's coming. Something's coming. And look, he says this. He said, or despises the riches of his goodness. God's so good he didn't kill that person. And forbearance and long suffering. In other words, he puts up with us. He puts up with people like that. Not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. You know what made you repent? Sure, you got scared of going to hell. Sure, you got scared of judgment of God. But somebody told you about Jesus, the goodness of God. Amen. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself, look at this, wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality and eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. Do you see what he's saying? He's saying God's got a righteous judgment. God knows who's right, and God knows who's wrong. And God's long-suffering, and he'll put up with it a long time. But there's a payday coming. Amen? Amen. There's a payday one day. There is a judgment. Now for us saints, our judgment was poured out on Jesus Christ on that cross, and we've accepted that, and we've been born again. He took our whipping. God poured out his wrath on his Son for us, and we put it all on him. But for unbelievers, see, nobody has suffered for their sin yet. Nobody. So they'll have to do it. They'll have to suffer. And let me tell you something. This world can take its fist and shake it at God now, and they can make fun of the Bible, and they can mock old-fashioned Bible Christianity, and they can call Jesus Christ all kind of nasty names. One guy and our former president let them do it. This one guy took a ball of urine and put Jesus on a cross and put it down in that jar and shut it and put it up in a museum, and the government paid for it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You wouldn't believe some of the things they call art, and a lot of it is anti-Christian. The Muslim can go out here tomorrow and he can fall on his face anywhere in America, he or she, and pray five times a day toward Mecca. And boy, people say, oh, ain't that holy, ain't that holy. And some old poor old Baptist say the blessing over his meal down at McDonald's, and they all look over there and say, religious fanatic, somebody needs to get them out of here. God sees that. God sees that. There's a judgment coming. And God will be righteous in His judgment. Now, we're not nowhere near through the tribulation period. This is just a piece of it. Now, can you, and I told you last week, it's in layers. There's things that we've already talked about that's going on at the same time. One third of the world's population has died by the time we get here. Now more's going to die. One third of the trees and the shrubbery has been burned up. Now more's going to die. One third of the sea life has died. Now more's going to die. One third of the animals have died. Now more are going to die. And you would think people would fall on their face and say, God, forgive me. No more. God, help us. But as we go on, you'll see they just shake their fist at God. And they say, I got that mark right here. I don't need God. I can buy and sell anything I want to. There's my king sitting over yonder. There's my Lord. And it's the devil himself inside a human body. And you say, how can people be so stupid? Well, you forget the verse, don't you? And such were some of you. We were all that way. We were all blind. We were all without God. In this present evil world. Thank God He opened our eyes. Thank God He let us see it. We sing that song, I saw the light, I saw the light. Thank God, praise God, I saw the light. Amen? That's because He opened our eyes. We didn't do that. We're not any better than they are. One day sitting in a church somewhere, did you get saved in church? One day sitting in a church, hey, somewhere in a church, he was sitting there one day, and God, the Holy Ghost, come along while some preacher was singing, and God, the Holy Ghost, reached down there and opened his eyes, and he said, my goodness, I see what I am, and I see what he is, and I see what I've done, and I see what he did for me, and I see there's no other way. He's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. I'm going to get up, I'm getting down there to him. Amen? Ain't that what happened? Amen. But God did that. You didn't do that. God let you see that. Well, to praise God. Look, we'll be the happiest people in town. I'm not going through this judgment. As a believer, we don't have to go through this. He is going to spare the believers. And if you're dead, He's going to resurrect you and take you up to heaven while all this is going on. If you're alive, He's going to take you up to heaven, change you, and take you up to heaven while all this is going on. And do you know what we're going to be doing? We're going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. You know what the marriage supper of the Lamb is? Hey, that's the supper right before the wedding. We'll have this big old supper. And we're the bride and Jesus is the groom. Rick, you're going to make a good-looking bride, brother. He's going to be the biggest bride I've ever seen in my life. Who are you laughing at? I hope y'all ain't standing in front of me. Won't nobody be able to see me. Amen. Let me tell y'all something. We're going to be having a time for 7 years. Hey, we're going to be praising God, singing. You ain't never heard such singing in your life. We're going to have glorified voices. Even me and Brother Ron will be able to sing on key, on time, know all the words, melody, harmonize. We'll have it all together. We'll be shouting, praising God, running up and down the streets of gold and down here on earth. Down here on earth, God's going to be pouring out His wrath. It's coming. If you think it ain't, you got your head buried in the sand somewhere. I mean, you can't look at the evening news and not believe this. You can't read a newspaper and not believe this. You can't go shopping. Y'all thought I was going to say Walmart, didn't you? You can't go to the mall. You ever go out the mall and you look at some people and you say, who let them out of the house? Does she not have a mama? And then you see the mom and you say, oh, I see why. Listen, it's coming, bro. And listen, watch out if you open your mouth about Jesus Christ in public. You're just a wicked Christian if you do that. That's what they'll do to you. You know what you ought to do? I do it. When I'm out in public, somebody says, well, Brother Ron, would you pray for me? This is going on, that's going on. I said, let's pray right now. Oh, yeah. I pray out loud. I want them to hear me. Yeah. Amen? It never ceases to amaze me. I went over to the... I've been up to the Charlotte Hospital to see people, and I'll be sitting in there, and this little priest, this little chaplain will come in, and he's got him a little earring, and he comes walking in there, and he says, can I get you anything? Can I help you? Can I get you anything? You know, somebody's sick, somebody's having surgery or something, and I'm sitting there thinking, they don't need you. They need God. And so hey, every chance I get in front of those people, I say, let's pray. And that they go. And they're supposed to be the chaplain. They don't pray. Oh, they don't know how. They'll get some orange juice. They'll get you Pepsi Cola. But they can't get you the water of life. And I remember that one, particularly one I'm thinking about now. Everybody grabbed hands. One of them grabbed his hand. And I prayed out loud. When I got through, I looked over there. He looked as shocked. I mean, somebody actually prayed out loud in a public place? Well, that's the world we live in. The Apostle Paul said, Know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Why? For men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, without natural affection. And that's the day we're in. And don't expect it to get no better. It's the last days. But thank God He never leaves us and He never forsakes us. Lord, praise God we wasn't born in Afghanistan. Wasn't born in Iraq. Wasn't born in Syria or somewhere where they chop our head off just for saying Jesus in public. I hope you're ready. It's coming, but I'm going. I ain't going to be here. And if the trumpet sounds, my keys are laying right up here. Goes to everything I got. You can have it. There's my phone. Hey, I'll even tell you the password on my way out. I'll shout it down to you. Hey, I'll give it all to you. You can have it. Amen? Because I'm out of here. Let's stand. Follow.